Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, interesting day today at Dulles International Airport. Evidently, a couple people that were being looked at for, you know, for corruption and laundering money, funneling money into U.S. elections from foreigners. Evidently, they were looking to get out of town, looking to get out of Dodge. This Igor Froman and Lev Parnas were about ready to board a plane, one-way ticket out of town when they were arrested on Wednesday evening. Now, what's interesting about them is, you know, Donald Trump claims didn't know him, you know, yet there's a picture of him with them. Now, in his defense, and this is where, you know, you could take your shot at him if you have to. He does take pictures with a lot of people, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people that have pictures with him that he may not remember. And remember, the memory isn't all that great. But I don't know how you don't know somebody who gave your campaign millions of dollars. I'm just kind of throwing that out there, just as a kind of aside. Now, the interesting thing here is, you know, what happens with Rudy? Because these are two of Rudy's buddies. But again, back to the money, lots of money. Here we find out that the Trump campaign is spending about $1 million a day on digital ads, which is about as much as the entire Democratic presidential field is spending, I guess, in a week. So they're outspending us incredibly high numbers. That's why I've asked Nate Lerner to come talk with us. Nate is a digital strategist and founder of Build the Wave, their website, buildthewave.org. Nate, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at these two guys being arrested at Dulles. Money men, really, bringing in foreign money, funneling into campaigns. I'm looking at the spending by the Trump campaign, and I can't help but think, you know, where's the money coming from?
Well, it's certainly suspicious. And I think you see time and time again that the Trump, you're really dating back to the early on in his career, was getting foreign money. Often because the banks here wouldn't take a chance on him. And so he found for real estate that he can easily get access to this foreign money. And lo and behold, that's carried for his campaign as well. And we're seeing that now. And so, you know, a lot of it does come from the small dollar donors who he tricks here with his dirty campaign tactics and the emails he sends where he basically calls the Democrats socialists and communists. But it is a question mark. We saw it in 2016. Where does the money come from?
Yeah, I mean, every day I get emails from either Don Jr. or Trump or, you know, Ivanka or, you know, any of the Republicans saying, we've got people going to match five times whatever you give us. And I keep going, who's the guy who's bankrolling that 500% increase in the dollar that you give them?
I'm going to shoot on a dirty little secret. There is no guy that's actually a campaign ploy to try to get you to donate. The Trump campaign is especially shameless implementing. So it's, you know, that it's just another case of him lying to his voters.
What? Trump lie? Really? Say it isn't so.
He's so honest.
But, you know, I look at this and I look at the fact that, you know, there's all of this stuff going on and all this disinformation at a time when there's some very serious things going on in the House with this impeachment inquiry and some really very serious accusations against this president. And, you know, for me, when I see this kind of money that they're spending on digital ads, you know, and the misinformation that we've seen in the digital world, I can't help but go back to, you know, this is all about shifting and deflecting and, you know, focusing our attention somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, that's just really what Trump his game plan has been since the beginning of his campaign. It's so funny when you see him get caught up in a scandal, and his immediate response is to just literally criticize his opponent of the exact same thing, or just criticize who's ever attacking him of the same thing. As we're seeing it right now with Joe Biden, he's actually, if you look at the digital ads he's running, a lot of them are him calling for an investigation of Joe Biden, which is absurd because the FBI would conduct an investigation if there's anything to investigate. And in fact, they've already looked into Hunter Biden. He's cleared of all wrongdoing. And the second reason is absurd is because he's being accused of the exact same thing with the actual transcript and actual evidence. And he's saying, oh, well, Joe Biden does it too. So, you know, don't worry about it. And we saw it also when the ex-Hollywood tape came out. What does he do? He doesn't address the controversy at all. He attacks Bill Clinton and accuses him of worse crimes of course, lying about it all along the way. And we see it over and over again. Whenever the Democrats go after Trump for something, something that he actually did, that there's actual evidence of, his immediate response is just to accuse them or accuse someone else of the same thing and completely deflect away. And so while we're so busy defending whatever he's attacking us for, the next scandal happens and we've moved on. And it's this kind of pandemonium that just occurs day in and day out. And I'm surprised more Republicans haven't caught onto it yet.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, this yeah, but defense is something that we've expected from him from the beginning. I mean, we've set the bar so low as to his behavior or his intellect or his policy initiatives that, you know, the bar is so low that, you know, just waking up and not, you know, ending the world is a win for us, I guess.
Yeah, I know, exactly. That's, you know, it's a testament to the strength of our system that, you know, the economy chugs along and, you know, our country hasn't fallen apart, and, you know, testament to the folks serving, really throughout the government at all levels and the military, and, you know, within intelligence agencies too, that despite this chaos that occurs within the White House, and it's really unprecedented, you know, the staff turnover alone reflects that at the senior level, where you see he's eclipsed staff turnover within the White House, really already within his first term, more so than any other president has. And, yeah, at the same time, our country just keeps chugging along. And it's not because, you know, it's not saying that he's doing it. It's really just folks on the ground keeping things running.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. And I look today, and as I started today off with, you know, the fact that we've now sided with Russia against, you know, the sane rest of the world with this situation in Syria with Turkey. I mean, it's just one of those moments where it's just, you know, every day seems to be, you know, one thing getting worse after another.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And really, I have to hope that there is a contingency of voters out there that just wants this stuff to end, just wants the constant news alerts to end, just wants the chaos to end, just wants to have a president who they don't have to worry about and wonder about and feel stressed about, and, you know, who isn't just constantly dividing our nation. You know, remember, we had a president who did that. That was nice. And it's just, you know, disagree or agree with Donald Trump, he is not good for this country. And that's so apparent when you look at our politics today. And yes, he is very much a symptom of it, but he's also a cause. And he's making it worse day in and day out. And he is, you know, unless we beat him handedly in 2020, he's not going to go down without a fight. And that does keep me up at night.
Yeah, see, I'm a big fan of, you know, beating him at the ballot box, but I've recently come onto the idea that, you know, now is the time that he has to go. I mean, I'm in favor of now the impeachment inquiry and moving forward on this, especially, you know, in light of the transcript that was released by the administration with their phone call with the Ukrainian president. The idea that a sitting U.S. president, and this has been my take on this, the idea that a sitting U.S. president would ask a foreign leader to target an American citizen, let alone, you know, a political opponent, to me is just, you know, it's a bridge too far in my mind.
And to leverage foreign aid to do so as well, it's just absurd. You know, literally power. And, you know, I thought of an analogy recently that I thought really pretty well sums this up. It would be like if Nancy Pelosi right now went to the leadership in China and said, you know, we'll end Trump's trade war if we beat him in 2020. So help us beat him by digging into his businesses. You know, imagine if that story came out. How do you think Republicans would respond to Nancy Pelosi doing that? They'd be screaming from the hilltop for her resignation.
Yeah. Well, they're already calling for impeachment, which, you know, obviously they cannot do, which shows they didn't do very well in civics class. But they're already calling for impeachment.
Right. They're also calling this a coup when it has nothing to do with the military. Yeah. They don't understand these basic, you know, basic tenets of our government, basic terms of political science.
Well, there is that as well. I mean, since you bring up the coup thing, you had Newt Gingrich today saying that this was a coup and this was suicide to use impeachment. And I guess he would know since he led the last one.
Exactly. You know, I think there is an argument to be made for, you know, impeachment not being the best move politically for some Democrats. But I think at the end of the day, you have to do what's responsible. Yeah. And honestly, you know, at this time, it is popular. We just saw a poll recently that 58% of Americans want to move forward with an impeachment inquiry. They believe Trump should be removed from office. And that's really within the early stages. I think if we move forward with the inquiry right now, well before the election, so it won't interfere with the election, we can present the case in public, present the facts as they are, and I think more Americans will come around. And as we start hovering closer to 60-65%, that's a pretty large majority. And then even if we don't get him in the Senate, guess what? We're going to have all this evidence that's been aired. We're going to have to put Trump on the defense for months on end. And then by the time the election comes around, we're going to have a strong candidate ready to take him on and use the evidence against him and use the public sentiment, which is turning against him day in and day out. He's very unpopular, and a lot of the states need to win. We can use that to win in 2020. And so I think, yeah, impeachment overall is to our advantage. And honestly, it's just the right thing to do if you look at the law.
No, I mean, yeah, at the end of it, like I said, I mean, I wasn't on the bandwagon during the Mueller probe. Because Mueller didn't really he didn't come to a conclusion. Had he come out and said, look, this is what he did, these are impeachable offenses, and I say we move forward on it, that's one thing. But he left it up to us having to read 470 some pages, which as Americans, yeah, we're just not going to do for democracy or for anything. We're just not going to put that kind of time in.
Yeah, let's be frank. The Mueller investigation was a very complicated scandal. Mueller really went out of his way to make it hard for us, you know, which wasn't great. And it was really stretched out. There were so many moving parts to it. It was day in and day out. It was exhausting. And I kind of felt, you know, I was right there with you. I wasn't fully on board with impeachment during that whole process. And I felt a lot of the arguments that were presented for impeachment after the Mueller report were kind of stretching it a little bit. It didn't seem like public support was with it. And I was like, look, you know, it's there. Let's move on. We got to focus on 2020. We have this to point to. And then, you know, what does Trump do when he gets away with the crime of the century? He goes and commits that crime again, except yep, in, you know, even more plain sight. And that right there is when we have to jump on it, because that is just this is the narrative you can bundle and put in front of the public and they will understand, because it's so simple and cut and dry what he did.
Yeah, everyone can sit down and read the source documents in a couple of minutes. I mean, the transcript that the administration says was accurate of the phone call. We don't have a verbatim word-for-word transcript, which I'm sure someone out there does. I'm sure the Ukrainians might have one or the Russians might have one. And who knows? I mean, somebody's got the verbatim conversation, because if what they put out is their statement on, I can't imagine how bad it actually was, given what we've seen from their transcript. But we could also read the whistleblower report and the whistleblower's memo, which you put them, you know, side by side, they're all extremely accurate.
Yeah, I think that's what's really funny about it, is they're so removed from reality that they thought that what they put out, which very well could not be may not be the actual transcript, and in all likelihood is not, possibly an altered one. Even that altered one made them look bad. And what's crazy to all this, too, is the Republicans were ready for an impeachment inquiry around the Mueller report, and then this scandal broke, and they were just so unprepared for it. And this is what loyalty to Trump gets them. It gets them, you know, scandal after scandal. Their pants are constantly on fire. Their hair is constantly on fire as they're constantly putting out these dumpster fires that Trump continues to light when he doesn't need to. And, you know, I've heard a lot of Democratic pundits say before, you know, Trump has – all he has to do is just not be corrupt, and he has a decent chance of winning in 2020, despite all, you know, all the terrible things he's done.
Yep.
And what does he do? He's just so incompetent and so compulsively corrupt that he can't help himself, and he commits crimes like this.
I'm waiting for him to actually shoot someone on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, you know, his base is very rooted in reality, and they're so quick to, they're blinded by tribalism, and they're blinded by their support for him. And they're so quick to just assume his word over everything when, you know, what's more likely is that this man who has been shown time and time again to be a liar, to be corrupt, to be caught up in all these sketchy dealings, is the one who actually committed the crime, and it's not some vast conspiracy against him.
Yeah, but the response you always get to that is, but Obama, Nate, but Obama, but hey, but Hillary, but emails, but it's always this but what?
Yeah, and that, you know, just like we were talking about at the beginning of the segment, you know, you see this whataboutism over and over again to distract you from it. And it does work. It's unfortunate, but it does, because it gets us on the defense. It gets us talking about that. It gets us trying to explain the intricacies of whatever scandal they've dug up. And a really good example is the one with Joe Biden, where he got a Ukrainian prosecutor, you know, their equivalent of the attorney general, to step down by withholding foreign aid from Ukraine. And people doing the exact same thing, but actually Joe Biden was simply acting as the point person for the United States government and European leaders who wanted that attorney general to step down because he was notoriously corrupt and was holding back Ukraine from moving forward as a democratic nation. It had absolutely nothing to do with Hunter Biden or the investigations into his son. And but what Republicans have done is they've taken this scandal out of context and made a scandal out of it. And now we have to do things like explain it. And, you know, it's one thing to explain it to folks who listen to your show who are actually interested in getting to the bottom of the truth, but to then explain to the American public in a 30-second commercial is much harder to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Trump campaign, as incompetent and terrible as they are, they are very good at what about it, distracting, and we need to fight against it.
No, I mean they're masters of social media and digital strategy, which, you know, obviously is your area of expertise. But you know, as I started this off with, I mean, they're spending tons of money on digital ads. They're spending tons of money on getting messaging out, and they're doing a much better job of it than the Democrats are.
Yeah, it's a lot of early money. I think that'll shift, and the fact that it is so transparent and that we're seeing it, you know, in broad daylight, we can see what their campaign is doing thanks to some changes that Facebook made. Actually, you know, they actually did something right, believe it or not. And Democrats have learned from 2016. They've learned, hopefully, I like to think, from, you know, what's been going on over the last few years as far as shifting trends and political campaigns, where digital is really very dominant now. And part of the work that I do is about helping campaigns utilize digital, utilize Facebook marketing, utilize web ads, reach the voters they wouldn't get to reach otherwise, the same way the Trump campaign did, the same way Cambridge Analytica did in 2016. And while certainly not every campaign is at that level, it is still a very useful resource. And I think the Democratic presidential campaigns, the high-level campaigns, I'm pretty confident, are going to be able to match President Trump if they can raise that money and get that support and get the right people behind the campaign.
Do you think the Democrats can reach the level of engagement that Trump has had? I mean, the sad reality is you know, Trump has just sucked the oxygen out of the room for everybody, because, you know, while we've been talking about all the crimes of the administration and all of the lies and all of that stuff, what we haven't talked about is, you know, hopefully what's Democrats going to take him out in 2020?
Yeah, I know you don't want to speculate to which Democrat it'll be. I am confident that whichever Democrat wins is going to have a robust digital operation, you know, with social media and advertising. And really bad. My concern, though, is, you know, we're running kind of, you know, positive ads about change and doing these open messaging about real issues. What this campaign does is they just, you know, they run memes. They run the kind of shareable content that is divisive, that's basically, you know, throwing mud, but even lower than mud, buried deep in the ground. And it gets shared within Republican circles and it goes viral. And it's just, you know, so it's the kind of stuff the Republicans, or sorry, the Russians were running in 2016. And we can look at the ads that he's running. And there are horrible content. But you know what? That's what plays well on social media. It gets people fired up. It gets them angry. They know how to use propaganda masterfully, as you said. And you know, Democrats could definitely learn a thing from them, but they can also, you know, they need to learn how to counter it as well while getting their message across and sticking to their point.
Yeah, I'm hoping that happens, because as of right now, all I'm hearing is about Trump. I think the Democrats have to figure out how they're going to break through that. And you know, I know you're on Team Beto, right?
I was one of the folks who was trying to get him to run. I definitely would love to still see him win. I know I'm not totally convinced he's positioned right now, but I think, you know, he's the guy who always has those breakout moments, so I wouldn't count him out still early. But I also, you know, I like what I'm seeing from Elizabeth Warren, you know, and Bernie and Kamala, and Buttigieg and even Biden. You know, I think we got a lot of really good candidates in there, and I'd be more than happy to see any of them be our standard bearer. But whoever it is, you know, they need to be prepared for the kind of mud that Trump is going to throw and the kind of campaign he's going to run. And it's going to be exactly like 2016, except even meaner.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really ugly. And hopefully at the end of it, you know, maybe there's a moment where we come back to somewhere towards normalcy. Or maybe Trump has created the new normal, which frightens me.
Fair thought. Yeah, and I think, you know, what's scary about this time around is, you know, I think 2016, you know, as we learned, we go from Bob Woodward's book, you know, he was really running to elevate his profile, the campaign that he was going to win. He wanted to, you know, launch a media company afterwards, you know, the Trump Network or something, you know, sell some books, get some, you know, get his name out there more. Like, he just is so good at, you know, that's really all he's done throughout his career is market himself. And so he was doing it more for the fun of it. I think he's having fun in 2016. This time he's, you know, he's terrified. He's really got his back against the wall. You know, the folks around him are dropping like flies. He's getting investigated by the FBI. He's got really, you know, the intelligence agencies breathing down his neck and a lot of pressure on the international stage as well. And so for him, you know, him losing this time around is just infinitely worse than 2016. He's a lot more at stake. And plus, I think he's a lot less mentally stable. I mean, he wasn't that mentally stable to begin with. So we're going to see a really extraordinarily ugly race. And we have to look for a candidate or nominee who's going to be tough enough to handle it and fight back and do it well.
No, let's hope, because I think you're absolutely right. I think he feels cornered, and it's going to get really ugly. But, Nate, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. Always great talking with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Nate Lerner. Make sure you check out their website, buildthewave.org. Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.